All right. After the podcast closing jingle this week, we have a interview from Lainey Wilson that we had this morning. So listen for that conversation again right after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast. The podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
That's right, the Wilhelm Scream will be making appearances today. It is a great classic gold that is in movies since the 1950s or 40s. I forget what it was, named after the guy, the actor Wilhelm, who made that thing. You'll notice it everywhere.
He was it was in a Western, right?
It was in a Western. He was, I think he was shot with an arrow or something like that, and he fell off the horse into the water. And they've used it like it's a thing. Like whenever you're in film school, it's kind of a way, like everybody tries to figure out a new way to sneak it into movies. But it's been like in everything. And all the Star Warses, Indiana Joneses.
Yeah. I swear it's in every episode of The Mandalorian.
I think they make
it a point to do it because I hear it so much.
I hear it everywhere. Listen for that. You'll see it everywhere. The podcast this week is brought to you by our friends at Pickle Jar. It's an unbelievable, awesome, free app that you need to get because it's a great way to tip the artist who is on stage whenever you're somewhere and they're up there, you know, performing. It's a great way for them to get all the money that you committed to them. If you want to give them $20, they're going to get the $20. So it's kind of cool. Or $5 or a dollar or whatever you want to do. Plus, they have all kinds of other stuff on there where you can support causes. It's an unbelievable app for fundraising. We use it on the show. When artists come in and play and we donate to charities, Pickle Jar will do it all for you. It's so cool. So if you're doing something like for your glee club or, you know, football fundraiser or anything like that, why go out and sell those dumb chocolates? Just get the Pickle Jar app and get people to go ahead and leave you a little donation. It's pretty great.
I like those chocolates. But if you're going to raise money,
world's greatest.
This is a good way to do it where you don't have to handle the money.
Yeah.
You never touch the money.
You never have to touch it. It's pretty great. It's done. Pickle Jar is awesome. So get it, get it, get it. Download at picklejar.com for your iPhone or your Droid. I said Droid, see, and I tied it into the... Wilhelm.
Patrick, thanks for bringing your Chick-fil-A in.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it smells so delicious in here.
Yeah, it's great. Because you are a black card holder, right?
Red, I don't know, something like that.
Oh, you know.
The highest level. No, I don't know off the top of my head, but I can look it up. Whatever the highest level is.
Well, it's not the highest level.
Oh, because there's the secret one, and I don't have that one.
Yeah, that's the one you have to get from the manager.
Is that like the one they hand you personally and they say?
And what comes with that?
I don't know.
No one knows.
Oh, I didn't realize Carson. No wonder I smell it so much. She's got the waffle fries.
I got the fries.
So it's
My status is I don't know. I'm a Chick-fil-A signature member, whatever that means.
Oh, God.
Signature member. Wow. What? You are so bougie.
I went on a diet for a while, so it slacked off, you know.
Is that how you got Vimka?
What, the diet?
No. Chick-fil-A signature member.
Oh, yeah. Like, hey, baby, you can go to Chick-fil-A. I get extra points for my order.
I remember I used to have some kind of metal credit card that was something, and I would take it out, and I knew it was like some kind of something or other. It was like some kind of a status thing.
Right.
I wasn't sure what happened. And I would take it, and I would, even if I wasn't going to use it, I would take it out like I'm trying to get to the other card, and I would drop it, and it would go clink, 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 clink. And I would go, oh, I'm sorry. This is the card.
Flex.
Yeah. And then I pay with cash.
Got the flex out there.
Sure did, man. Sure did. People, I'm sure they still talk about me.
Yeah. One good time that metal card.
Oh, whoops.
Is it? Which one is
a credit card? What card is it? That was my Apple card.
Wow. It's metal?
Yeah. It's titanium.
That's fancy.
Yeah.
I was watching something the other day about Jerry Seinfeld talking about getting the black Amex and that he was actually the first person to get one. And it's because because they'd been rumored for years that there were supposedly three in existence. One was the president of Amex. Second was like the Sultan of Brunei. And they didn't know the third. And so when he started doing those American Express commercials in the 90s, he called up the president and said, What's the deal with these black cards? He's like, no, no, those don't exist. They're a rumor. He's like, uh-huh, I want one. And he goes, oh, okay. Well,
so
you
they
make that
invented
happen?
It for him?
And so he literally has card one.
Wow.
0001.
Well, you just gave out his credit card number.
Yeah, I have a feeling his accountant probably meticulously keeps a hold of that. And I don't know his security code. So.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? It's good to be Jerry Seinfeld.
Benefits no to that fame. Yeah. What?
Patrick, thank you for putting my windows up. We had a rain shower come through.
I didn't do it. I had Evangeline do it.
His daughter.
Because she'd never seen roll-up windows before.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, that's why we say roll down the window.
That's right.
We roll down the window. When really, you don't roll it down anymore. You just hit a button, and it goes
so
down.
I actually have a question. You're talking about the crank on the window that's rolling it up or down.
Mm-hmm.
But does it go back even further to before we had glass windows and we just had plastic, the little things where you
there
would roll them down?
Before glass.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's no plastic didn't exist before glass. Plastic is 100-year-old technology. Glass has been around for, you know, 1,000 years.
Yeah, I don't know what you mean by the plastic
window.
Yeah,
I'm not sure either.
Well, like on my, remember the Jeep I had with the half windows? It had like the plastic windows, and you would just zip it and flip them down. You roll them down.
Yeah, that didn't come before glass.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
But you know, well, before glass, they had
plastic. I was wondering. I said, you know, maybe that even goes further back than that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if they didn't have windows.
I looked up a bunch of things that that we say that don't make sense anymore, but we still say them all the time like it means something. First of all, just filming. Will you film that?
Yeah. Oh, I had somebody yeah, we brought
it
up on
the
show before.
Yep.
Are we filming? And it doesn't. No, we're not filming. But other ones that go with that are like, got it on tape.
Mm.
Oh, I got it on tape. Hang up the phone is one. Wrap it up, or that's a wrap. At the end of movies, at the end of a day, they would wrap up the film in a box and wrap it so that light didn't get in and contaminants on the film.
Oh, wow.
We still say that. And most of us don't know where it comes from. We've just always said it.
Well, like hang up the phone, like she just brought up. I mean, let's not glaze over that.
Actually hang up.
Because it was on the wall, or like you had the old-timey one sitting on like a thing, and they were tall, and you had to hang the little receiver part.
Yeah.
Crank up the car.
Crank
used
up the car.
Used to literally go out with a hand crank.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to go crank up the car. What?
The music industry, when we play a song, they count on the chart. They count spins.
Oh, record spins.
Because they used to actually be spins of a song.
Yeah.
But now it's
just, yeah, that's crazy.
Why
didn't
they call it
not
plays?
Just records,
I don't know.
But even CDs. I mean, so.
Oh, that's right. CDs did spin.
Yeah.
Maybe you've got a spinning hard drive you're playing it off of now.
We did roll up the window. My favorite one I found that I didn't know was dashboard. Dashboard comes from horse-drawn carriages. There was literally a board in front of the driver for when the horses would dash.
Oh, to keep
to keep the dirt from hitting them. So it was called the dashboard.
How much sense does that make?
I'm like, why is it called that? Well, because when the horses started dashing,
so we were this close to calling the dashboard the mud flap. I mean, that's basically what it is. The dashboard was the mud flap.
Original mud flap. You CC an email. That comes from carbon copy.
Oh, yeah.
And
nobody even knows what carbon copy is anymore.
You sound like a broken record. I don't even think young people know what that means. A broken record would skip and repeat itself and go back
and repeat itself and go back and repeat itself and go back and repeat itself and go back.
Most people never even heard that. I think that's all. You turn the lights on. Why do you turn on the lights?
No, it's not a turn, is it? Oh, because the lantern.
When you used to turn up the gas.
You used to like literally turn
the light. You had to turn the gas
down.
Key. It was a key.
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. Or on the lantern, it's a little roller.
We used to have lanterns growing up. My dad, we went through a hole.
See, my parents, they said raise the lights.
Raise
the lights. Okay, that's from there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you raise the lights?
Hold your horses means slow down. Literally, like that's think about that. That's a term from back in the carriage days. Oh, hold your horses.
Well, so is a typical Cajun getting out of a car. You don't say, are you getting out? You say, are you getting down? And that also goes back to the carriage days because you would get down out of a carriage.
It's also meth mouth.
What?
Meth mouth comes from people who have bad teeth just because they did meth.
Well, that one's still
sadly, that one's still in effect.
It still works.
Mm, yeah.
And the other thing I found, and I think we've talked about this before, and I think it's
battery chiclets.
I like how all you guys go, what's that?
What's that? Yeah.
What'd you say? Oh, no. They still use that one.
We were still hoping that you weren't saying meth mouth. Yeah. I'm like, maybe he said something else.
Y'all know what he did. I'm going to call it out. He bubba'd y'all.
I really. What did you?
Them? Bubba y'all. Just yeah. so. Something you said just something dumb just dumb, just like totally I would do. Yeah.
Boy, you got to. You
know, oh, whatever.
Your thing is usually way dumber and way more off.
You
want to
play this game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we going to go mental gymnastics?
Have we ever had Pat Sajak on the show? The last one I have on this list is that the save icon is still it's a 3.5-inch floppy disk on everything. Mm. The little save button. And
do I know?
And load. Yeah, load save. And save.
Yeah.
When you hit save on your computer, you're going to save a document or save an email, it's a little floppy disk.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You should actually have to put, I remember having to put the disk in to save something because there was no hard drive on a computer.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I was telling somebody about, speaking of hard drives and disks, I had an old, this is like first gen, I'm assuming, Sony digital camera that had the actual 5-inch floppy disk you had to slide into it.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
It was the size of like a Polaroid back in the day, and you would slide this big floppy disk that was it was like the size of a piece of bread into it.
We have a picture we use that I use on our CMA entry of the two of you on a billboard that I took using one of those cameras. You were working at the radio station across town. And I don't remember why, but Chris Wegman said he needed a picture of that billboard and sent me out with the digital camera, which Bubba's right, was this big. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then put the disc in and go and take the – and it could only hold like three pictures. Like that disc wasn't big enough to hold a lot of information. And the pictures,
and those pictures
so
were like
blurry.
8 kilobyte pictures.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so I'm like, you could have just had a regular camera. It would look better. But no, we have digital. And I still have the picture, strangely enough.
And it's such great quality.
It's fantastic quality.
But do you remember the when you would save computer programs on cassette tape?
Yeah.
That noise, that whatever. Yeah.
It sounded like somebody doing dial-up.
Yep. Sure did.
I was fancy because we had a Tandy TRS-80 portable computer.
Heck yeah.
Dude, wow. It was the size of a suitcase, and it had a built-in screen. Like, it was like a laptop before a laptop. Yeah. And it was like, the screen was like this big, like 5 inches diameter. And it was orange. The font was, instead of being green like those old-time computers, it was way high-tech. It was orange. Looked like you were driving a Volkswagen or whatever, driving a Volkswagen, because you know they have the different color.
My grandmother was a ESL teacher, and she would get at the. They didn't want to leave the old computers in the school all summer because they didn't run the air conditioning during the summer, so they would send all of the teachers home with one of the computers just to keep it at their house. So she had an Apple IIe computer. She'd keep in the back bedroom. We could go back there and play the Oregon Trail.
Mm.
I still remember that.
That is still the best game.
Did they just reboot it? I swear they just rebooted it for your phone.
Can you get Oregon Trail on your phone?
Yeah, I know you can on Apple. Yeah. I don't know about you guys.
They did a zombie version of it. There was zombie Oregon Trail. And that's in the recent past. But yeah, that thing is still, it's, yeah. Why wouldn't you be the banker? The banker had all the money so you could buy all the bullets. It was like, I didn't understand anybody else who wanted to be any other character.
Man, I never understood how dangerous the Oregon Trail was until I watched 1883. Then, I mean, yeah, sure, we all die of dysentery. Okay, whatever.
Yeah,
but then
died
you watch that show and you're like, holy crud. How in the world did anybody ever make it to the West Coast? That's the incredible. Oh, look, here it is. Apple Arcade, Oregon Trail. I don't know if I can play the audio for you, but. Yeah, here's a little...
Oh, it's the best. Oh, that's way too high res.
Yeah, it's super, super high quality.
Oh, no. When?
Yeah, Oregon Trail for the Apple Arcade is out.
No, when you had to make your little dude move by hitting the arrows, and he would just kind of go in a circle, and I would just have him shooting bullets at whatever animal came by so we could eat. Loved it.
I think I might get this just to, you know, for old time's sake. It would be cool, like, if they had a mode where you could flip it into classic because you know that takes no space on the disc, if you want to call it, or in the file. I mean, that's got to be under 3K. I mean, I don't know.
What was the storage capacity on an old floppy disk? And I don't mean 3.5s. I mean the big ones.
Yeah, the 5-inch ones.
Oh, my gosh. This says 80 kilobytes.
Really?
That can't be right.
Yeah. 80K.
Oh, yeah, because the 3.5-inch had 1.4 megabytes.
Wow.
1.4 megabytes, that was some real stuff. Now, by the way, when you take a picture with your phone, the last picture I took with my phone, let me look at just random picture in here, details, is 2.03 megs. So this one picture was too big to put on a 3.5.
That's crazy.
I'm trying to find
crazy stuff.
The space shuttle thing. Didn't they say the space shuttle had way less computing power than like your phone? I'm trying to find the actual numbers, but I don't see it. Dang it.
I know the Apollo mission. It was, you know.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. The space shuttle had right about 1 meg of,
one meg
of computing power.
Wow.
Mm.
Which your iPhone 4 had 512 megs of RAM. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's we have way nuts. too much power in our hands with this technology, and it's making us dumber. Y'all see that study that came out for the first time ever?
Yep.
Decade to decade, Americans have gotten dumber. Our IQs have gotten lower.
I buy it.
It's never happened before. Mm-mm. They had all these theories about why IQs go up over time, and then all of a sudden they went down, and it was pretty dramatic, too.
We know why. It's this thing in our hands.
Oh, and everyone's trying to come up with a reason that's not smartphones. I've heard all sorts of, well, it's nutrition. It's because we're eating worse food. Okay, you know what? Maybe
that
a little bit.
That might be part of it.
And the education system is bad. And
that
you know
might
what?
Be
in some
part
places
of it.
It is. You know what else it is? It's this thing that makes you dumb.
Yeah, because instead of trying to figure out how to do the problem, we just tell the little app in our phone, we give it the problem, and it spits it out with the work so you can show your work.
Yeah, not just that. IQ had more to do with just memorizing things and learning. It made you had to think. And we used to put status attached to things like the ability to speak, the ability to use reason, the ability to use creative thinking in an argument. And now people don't even work on that. They just do this. A friend of mine went to her high school reunion. She went to a magnet school where not like just one in town. It was one for the whole state where they would take the smartest kids from the whole state and send them to one school. For, you know, like 200 of them go to the last 2 years of high school.
So it was like Hogwarts.
Yeah, but without wizards. And
no, you're right about Bubba. I did Bubba the other.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you're right.
Because he just did it again. That was it.
It just took me to see one like that in the wild.
Yeah, and then you get it back and
I'm like,
go,
oh my God.
That's exactly what I did.
I did that.
That's his job.
Yeah, I did that.
Anyway, she said they went for the reunion and they toured the campus and they realized that there was no one, like no, not even one kid standing around the quad. It was a beautiful day. And she goes, we would go between classes. We'd have 20 minutes and the whole quad, there would be 100 kids out there.
Socializing, talking, nerding.
Hey, have you seen Steve? No, I don't know where he's at. You know, now they all know where each other are. It's all on their phone. And they don't feel like going out and even talking to each other or just BSing. They all just sit there in... They go to their next class, and they wait for class to start, and they sit there on their phone.
Well, I was going to say, I used to think that WALL-E was the dumbest, most preposterous thing ever. And by WALL-E, it's like where they had all the people that they didn't do anything. Everything was on their screens, and they just got humongously fat, so they got too fat to be mobile. So then they got more robots to assist them to be immobile-y mobile. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing ever. We are not going that way. We are totally going that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's so weird. I think back to, I vividly remember fourth grade math class, and my teacher, Mrs. Epstein, was complaining about going to the grocery store, and it was when they had just installed the scanners, so you didn't have to have, so you didn't have people ringing in anymore, but that also meant that the checkout, the total pops up for you, and you hand the money, and you say, okay, they gave me $40, here's the change. She didn't have
it
to do
math.
It
tells you how much the change
tells
is.
You
how much,
and she was... I guess one day they went down and the checkout girl could not figure out how to make change. And she was like, this is why you're learning math. This is why, like she was, I say she was old. I don't know. She might've been 40, but you know, everybody seems old when you're a kid. And she's like old and yelling at us and that we need to learn this math and you won't always have a calculator. And I'm like, look at that, Ms. Epstein. Sure do.
Sure do.
We're good to go. I didn't need that.
Look at my son. My son cannot read cursive because in his school for like 2 years, they didn't teach cursive. So like he and his friends don't know how to read it, cannot write it. He doesn't have a signature.
Oh.
He signs everything in print. No. I'm like, that is so bizarre. They never taught them, and then they went, no, we need to put it back in. So they put it back in their school, and now
yeah,
they can.
Yeah, but he missed it.
Yeah, he missed it. So he's one of these little freak kids where, and I don't want to mean that in a bad way, he's just one of these little, you know, kids.
He's a
that
weird micro-generation pocket.
Yes, yes. Yeah. He's like, he fell right in that pocket.
I can't write in cursive anymore.
How long
do
you take doing cursive in school?
Oh, it was.
It felt so long.
But it taught you more than just how to do it. It taught you motor skills. It taught you focus. It was learning a skill, as dumb and as useless of a
skill
as it is.
Get it on Fortnite. Come on.
Learning how to write in cursive really taught you how to write quickly with a pen. And I don't write in cursive anymore, but I still know how to hold a pencil and jot down notes. You know, and that's a lot of that motor skill comes from that. And we're messing kids up, man.
How long do you think we have TikTok in America?
Oh, I don't know. They're bashing.
Yeah, they're fine.
They came out. Now the pro-TikTok politicians, believe it or not, there are a lot of them, come out bashing anyone who's against it. One guy said, is this because they ain't got no swag? What the heck does that mean?
What?
That's a real thing.
No swag?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's why they don't want TikTok. This is a representative in the House of Representatives who said that. I'm like, maybe because it's making everyone stupid.
There's a couple things.
And also it's a Chinese spy.
Well, the Chinese literally have set up TikTok for us to fail. And by that, I mean they have completely adjusted the algorithm to find those things that give you the dopamine hit and make you laugh and whatever and make you want to share it without actually educating yourself at all. It dumbs you down. And the more you go into it, the more it will dumb you down over time. It's crazy.
I'll tell you, Bubba, you were the first one to turn me onto this, that if you saw the difference between American TikTok and Chinese TikTok.
Oh.
Because Chinese TikTok was engineering and skills, and America's like, let's do the latest dance.
Yeah.
And let's do makeup tutorials.
Yeah. And if you don't think that was on purpose, it's absolutely on purpose.
Yeah.
They're trying to just suck us all in and make us all
stupid.
I have
a buddy who works for the government in a weird capacity, but he's very in the know on all this stuff. He said, yeah, if you ever download TikTok to your phone, even if you delete it, just throw the phone away.
Oh, no.
He's like, He said, you have no idea how compromised you are.
Ew.
I mean,
I know you're going, yeah,
it's one of
whatever.
Like, I'm compromised.
What are they
going to
look at? My betting app?
Ooh. You want to know what my parlay is on March Madness, China? Come on in and get it. I mean, you know. But yeah, I don't want anyone in the government to have it.
Right.
No.
Because that sounds terrifying.
Feels give like it to their government. That's fine. Yeah, they know, I mean, everything. The layouts of your homes because they have, you know, the cameras and all that stuff. I mean, they know where everything is. You know, we used to have do y'all know about the nuclear sponge?
Mm-mm.
So the reason we put our nuclear launches, you know, all over the plain states, all of our silos and everything was basically we spread them out far enough to where it would take a whole bunch of nukes from Russia back in the day to hit those targets. And we wanted to use up the bulk of their missiles trying to destroy our missiles. So we have basically a part of the country. If you live near a nuclear silo, you're considered expendable. You're in the nuclear sponge. And the idea was we wanted them to nuke that rather than being able to hit all of our cities.
Oh.
So they would expend most of their fire power on
the if we ever get to
planes.
That point, we've sent so many of these things out. There's nobody. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, nobody's
it's Armageddon at that point.
No, I'm just telling you.
They have enough nukes to wipe out every inch of this country and vice versa. So,
dude, have y'all been watching Yellowstone right now? And I'm not talking the show. I'm talking about.
No, what happened?
Okay, so it's got this magma chamber below it. We're talking about the national park. The magma chamber under the, what do you call the caldera?
The caldera.
Yeah, which is like a super volcano. And it has been raising, I want to say a couple inches a year. Well, all of a sudden here in the last year, it has dropped drastically. They're very concerned that it's losing some kind of pressure. And if it caves in and cracks, then all of a sudden we now have a fissure for this hot magma to come out even more. And it could ignite the super volcano, the caldera. I'm like, what?
Oh.
Yeah, so that is something to watch. I mean, I went down the dumb little ladder. You know, I'm not going to say the rabbit hole. I went down the ladder into the abyss of the internet, I watched so many things talking about all these scientists are very concerned. They're like, yeah, it's just a little weird. You know, it's just doing something it hasn't done before. I'm like, oh, great.
Great. You've never been, have you?
No, I won't go.
Yeah, you won't go.
I'm petrified to go to, and it's beautiful. I see the, I can watch it through my VR goggles. And I'm good. I'm there.
Dude, listen, I've been many times. I lived out there.
For like a week with his VR goggles on.
I lived out there in Montana. I was in Billings. And so we go to the park, you know, once or twice a year, I guess, or so. For one thing, and this is just me, my opinion, it's boring. It's really boring. It's huge. So you think that it's not like you pull up and like all the little things are there. No, you have to drive like an hour to get to the next, you know, geyser. And then you want to see a waterfall? Well, that's 45 minutes. And it's real pretty. And I mean, and you got animals and that kind of stuff. And, you know,
stuff. I mean, that's boring. See,
and that's the weird thing is you would think Big D would be the one who would be into the nature stuff. I love, like, I could spend all day in the middle of a desert in a ditch just looking at stuff. And he's like, yeah, look, okay, I've seen it. Goodbye.
I'll tell you that when I was in Italy and we went to Pompeii, which obviously, you know, the volcano back in 79 AD, and I'm looking at Vesuvius because you spend the day in Pompeii and it's right there. This
is
massive.
Is it still smoking?
No. But it's still this, it looks like, oh, it's a mountain. But no, it's a volcano that killed and buried hundreds and thousands of people in the towns and the excavation. And it, even just being there for a day, it's very, when you start thinking about it too hard, it's scary. Because for all I know, you watch the documentary on Netflix about the one in New Zealand or Australia?
No.
The volcano, it was a couple of years ago, that there were tourists who were tourists that were touring. But they were all walking, it was a tour group.
They were touring.
And then people are like, there's smoke. And then suddenly, boom, the volcano goes off.
And did they die?
Some of them did, yeah. There's one kid, he lost his mom, his dad, the sister they never even found. So
jeez. I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at the story. I'm laughing at some did.
Well, it's just, I mean, because you think about it, you got Mount St. Helens. We've got all kinds of other dormant volcanoes all around us. And, I mean, that's crazy.
And,
talk.
Like, every cartoon we watched growing up, volcanoes were going to be a problem.
I was
going to
say, volcanoes and quicksand were going to take us out.
Yep.
Now it's and all also, meteors.
Also, what are the fish that eat meat?
Oh, piranhas.
Yeah,
oh, piranha, we're going to get us.
Or giant boulders coming off of cliffs and stuff like that.
It was.
Or like coyotes dropping anvils.
Yeah,
that was a big one.
Anvils. Anvils are the thing, too.
It's like, what's an anvil? Now, there's no way if Patrick were to show his daughter a photo of an anvil and say, what is this used for? She would be perplexed. Like, nobody, there's nobody who uses an anvil anymore except for like five people.
I was going to say, channel,
the five people on Forged in Fire, they're the only ones.
The problem is, as a kid, I didn't know what you used an anvil for. I just thought that's what the Roadrunner kicked over the side of a cliff.
It was heavy, and if it falls on you, you die. That's all I know. Turns out no one ever drops anvils off of anything.
By the way, maybe that's what made us all crazy back in the day. I mean, look, think about it. You know, we were dropping anvils on people. And our look at the coyote. His whole thing was murder. He was a murderous, crazy
creature. That's what did us all in. We're all murderers because of the coyote, because of Roadrunner.
I never realized, though, if you think about it. So the coyote was murderous. Elmer Fudd, murderous.
Yeah,
I mean, and then you had, what's his name? Pepe Le Pew. He was rapey. I mean, there was a lot of crazy stuff going on. Pepe Le Pew, man. One of my favorites.
I loved him.
I hated him. Wasn't that awful when you get to that next spot on Looney Tunes and it was a Pepe Le Pew and you're like, I'm going to go eat my Cheerios.
God, it was the worst.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I like Pepe Le Pew. I did not like Sylvester.
Man,
all the Sylvester and Tweety Bird.
The little old lady was all right in that. She didn't appear in every episode, but the little old lady who owned Tweety.
By the way.
And she would beat Sylvester with the broom.
Classic. I was a big
murderous, rapey, broom beatings. I mean, you had it all.
I was a big fan of Foghorn Leghorn.
Boy.
Yeah.
By the way, what's his name? James Bond doing that voice in the mystery shows. Well, no. Oh, you haven't seen what is that name of that movie? It's kind of like Clue. It came out a couple of years ago.
The Knives one?
Knives Out.
Yeah, Knives Out.
Oh, yeah.
He sounds like Foghorn Leghorn. No, I'm going to see y'all.
What the hell is that? I watched that movie and I was like, what is he supposed to be?
He's Foghorn Leghorn,
it's
man.
It's a bad Southerner.
He's the Colonel.
It's kind of like what's his face in Con Air. Remember him?
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Supposed to be from Alabama, but it sounded like he was from Alabama from 1704.
Here's D&I's little strange Nicolas Cage thing. We actually were in that. We walked out of that hangar just like they did at Winnemucca. Remember? We did the Winnemucca walk out at the hangar where they filmed Con Air?
No, I don't remember.
You don't remember that?
Uh-uh. What did we do? Where is this at?
Right outside of Salt Lake City. We went out into Winnemucca.
Is that with Eddie?
We were with Eddie that day. And remember, we stopped on the salt lick and I got out and I licked the ground?
Yeah, well, I mean, you do that a lot. But yeah, I remember that. And then didn't we do something where the bomb was loaded?
Yeah. Where they loaded the bomb to send it over there, which was interesting because...
On the Enola Gay.
Yeah, so I've done... You know, I was so bummed. And I know this sounds terrible when I say it. I've been to Oak Ridge. I've been to Winnemucca where they loaded the bomb to send it to Tinian and Rota and Saipan and all
that.
Oh, so
that's the same place.
I stood in that one. So I had hit all these different places where the bomb was. And when we were going to Japan back in 2019, we were going to go to Hiroshima. And I was like, oh my gosh, I will have completed the nuclear trail.
Yeah.
Like where they enriched the uranium all the way to the where it dropped and went off. And whenever they canceled that part of our USO tour, I was so bummed. I'm like, man, that would have been really cool to go and see. And I know it sounds horrible, but to go and see the museums and all that kind of stuff, like where they have the shadows of the people burned into the concrete.
That would have been like a historic parlay.
Yes.
You get all of them.
Yeah. Well, it's just like a trail of, you know, here's where I was, where it started. I was where it was loaded. I was there, you know, where they put it in the plane. You know, I forget what island I was on, but I think it was either Tinian or Saipan. They had the bomb was so big, they couldn't load it into the aircraft. The bomber, they had to basically make a hole in the ground, like where you change your oil, put the bomb in the hole, drive the plane over it, and then lift it into the bomb bay.
I swear we saw that. We didn't see that? Wasn't that with Eddie when we saw where they did that?
I'm telling you about the one on the island.
Yeah, I know.
I think they did that too.
They
did
the same. Yeah, of course they
Because they had to get it
to the same
ship
airplane.
It on a boat
right. Yeah,
they saw the boat. I mean, think about the USS Indianapolis. The ship that carried the atomic bomb to go and get dropped on Japan was so secretive that when it sunk, everybody was eaten by sharks, and they had the captain. Remember that? You've seen the whole USS Indianapolis story?
No.
Nicolas Cage was in the movie.
What's the movie?
USS Indianapolis. I don't know.
Okay, so they had the bomb.
They were on a secret mission. Nobody knew where they were. They got the bomb to the island so they could get it onto the plane to go to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And when they left, they couldn't report their positions or anything like that. They were radio silent. They were hit by a torpedo from a Japanese sub after they had dropped the bomb off.
Okay.
And so nobody knew where they were, what happened, where they went down. And like 400 sailors were in the water and they were getting picked off one by one by sharks over the course of the time that they were in the water. And they were in the water a long time. And they ended up blaming the captain of the Indianapolis because they said, well, you didn't do the maneuver you're supposed to do that's going to keep you safe from the submarines. The Japanese sub-captain came back and said, years later, he said, there's no way I could have missed this guy. He's like, you could have done every maneuver you could have ever thought of. I was so close to you, I could have hit you in my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the captain went home. He felt guilty because of all the deaths of the sailors that were in the water by the sharks and by the torpedo, that he took his own life.
Mm.
And then come to find out later, the Japanese captain said, yeah, it wasn't his fault. I was just good, is basically what he said.
Wow, I didn't know
that. Y'all have never heard about that?
No. No. This is where you come back and go, I'm just kidding. That'd be great. Let me go. We got all into it. We're like Googling stuff.
I'm trying to find the name of the movie from Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage.
You know, I guess I just never thought that they had to transport it by boat.
Men of Courage. USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage.
That they just flew straight over. Of course, they didn't do that. Didn't have air-to-air refueling either.
Yeah, so.
But those bombers could go, I don't know. Man, I don't know.
Yeah, they were in the water for 5 days. And it said it was 300 crewmen went to the bottom of the Philippine Sea. The rest of the guys were being literally eaten by sharks, or they would die of saltwater poisoning because they were drinking seawater. And they ended up, the surviving crew were rescued by an airplane pilot. So only 316 survived the I guess, torpedoing. And
wow.
Then
I didn't know that.
Bill Clinton actually exonerated Captain McVeigh, the captain I was just telling you about, in 2000 because everything came to light that there was no way you could blame him. Yeah, they said he failed to zigzag.
Yeah, I remember there was a TV movie about that, too, I saw when I was young. And I remember the part where they bring the Japanese. That was the star witness in the trial. They bring the guy, the sub-captain, in.
And he's like, yeah.
He's like, yeah, no, he was doing everything the way you guys say he's supposed to, and I still shot him. Like, that was how he got off of being court-martialed.
Well, and there was no support. There was no nothing because they were out there on their own because they were secret. So they didn't have any assistance, so they didn't have a clue that the sub was around him. Anyway, it's just very interesting.
I love all that history stuff. All right.
Okay.
That was a podcast. Now it's over. Lainey Wilson is coming up, though.
Yes, right after this. Are we done, Don? Everybody?
Yeah,
anybody
done.
Got anything else?
No,
roll up the windows. Done. We're good. We're good. Okay, and...
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Lainey Wilson, what up?
Congratulations, boy.
Congratulations to you.
Congratulations to you. We're going to fight it out.
Arm wrestle? Let's go.
Wrestle.
I would leg wrestle you, but I think those bell bottoms would be like some like secret weapon inside. You'd be like,
that's right. That's why I wear them.
Slap you across the face. And you like
that's
it.
That's right.
hey, we're talking the other day on the show about your TV commercial with, it was
a Dodge Ram.
Dodge Ram.
Yes.
Ooh,
man.
Can you believe that?
That is crazy huge.
It sounds.
It's right.
It feels right.
It's right.
It reminded us.
It's right.
Yeah, it reminded us of the Like a Rock commercial, the campaign they did for Bob Seger for a decade. I don't know what it was.
I hope you get a decade run out of this.
Me too.
Hey, look, I got a new truck. They got some of it for me. I got the other half of it, but no, it's really incredible. It feels like, I mean, when I saw the commercial, I forgot that it was even me, and I was like, this song sounds like it's perfect for a truck.
I know.
Commercial.
Did they get you a TRX?
No TRX. No, I got that Laramie. I got that Longhorn.
Oh, nice. Man, I want a TRX. I'm like, T-Rex, bring it.
I know, I love it. I got me some running boards finally, so I don't have to run and jump up into it.
I would love to see that.
I'll tell you this, man. When we talked to Seeger about that commercial, the Like a Rock commercial, we were like, so, like, is that like crazy money? And he goes, well, I won't say how much, but
he laughed.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Yep.
Yeah. Is it a lot?
I mean, I will say, I'm sure he's getting paid. He got paid a whole lot more than I did, because, I mean, come on now, it's Bob Seeger. But for me, it was really just about the exposure. I'm like, the song is already becoming a hit, but especially after it is a part of this commercial, everybody and their mama, even the people who don't know country music, they're going to know this song.
You know, I liked the song a lot, and then I started noticing something really interesting. Ladies have really gravitated toward this song. Like, I see so many people on Instagram and TikTok and all that, and it's ladies, groups of ladies, singing Heart Like a Truck together.
I know. I love it. I will tell you, across the board, I mean, I have seen the song connect to young girls, old men, little boys, old women. It seems like a lot of folks are latching on to it, which is crazy, because I truly wasn't even trying to do that when we sat down to write the song. So that's pretty magical.
Lainey is very busy. You've got, I don't know. I don't know. You've got this many shows. You got Hardy's thing. You got Luke's thing.
Like different tours. Thing. So yeah, you're joining everybody on tour. You're doing somehow. You're finding ways to film Yellowstone. You are, you know, doing the Dodge Ram stuff. I'm sure you have appearances tied with that, like corporate events or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What? When are you taking time for you, for Lainey Wilson?
You know what? I have a week coming up here real soon where I am. I'm gonna go out to my farm that I just got here in Nashville and turn it off. I'm talking about turn off my phone. Y'all better not, don't try to call me.
Okay.
Don't ask me to do nothing. No, okay. I'm messing. But for real, I'm looking forward to that week because it's last year. I mean, I know I've told y'all this, but I've slept in my bed a handful of times, and this year, it's maybe a little bit more than it was last year, but it's crazy. I mean, everything from our own headlining tour to Luke Combs. To Hardy, it's just going to be running and gunning this year. But hopefully, you know, hopefully top of next year. I'm already planning for the next year. I'm hoping that, you know, I can really have a season where I'm writing and really focusing on that because songwriting is always going to be my number one.
Well, we know you work hard. And, I mean, really, you do work really hard behind the scenes. And I hate the whole overnight success thing because just a couple years ago, people didn't know your name. Now they not only know your name, but they're paying money to go see you sing to them on stage. And I'm so happy for you, Lainey.
Thank you, buddy. I done tricked a lot of people. I done tricked y'all, too.
Did we talk about this last time that you have your own bell-bottom line? I don't remember that. You do, though.
Well, it's kind of sort of my own line, but not really. We just kind of created a couple pairs of bell-bottoms. Like, I have a pair that's inspired by the Heart Like a Truck artwork, and we threw them up on the website, and then a couple more pairs. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to, like, really launching something. So hopefully here soon we'll be able to do that, maybe teaming up with somebody else and doing it. But yeah, everybody's like, we need some bell bottoms. Tell us where you get them bell bottoms. So I was like, here you go. Here's some right here.
Does it make you feel cool, like, to look out in the crowd and see people emulating your style?
It's wild. I mean, everybody and their mama, they're wearing bell bottoms and hats, and it's really cool. For me, you know, I feel like I get to dress up for Halloween every single day. And I don't know, a lot of people have said, you know, you've given me the courage to wear what I want and just rock it. And that's awesome. I'm like, hey, if that's the way that you want to dress too, cheers to you.
Mm-hmm. Do you, I noticed there was a definite switch, I guess, maybe online, like Instagram, TikTok videos and that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. I think we tried to call you one morning because we're like, I don't know. Is she all into that? Was that all, like, the whole, like, booty thing? Was that? Yeah, go ahead.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room. No pun intended.
Yeah, please. Let's just talk about your booty. Yeah.
Let's do it. So my butt went viral on TikTok, which was, at first I was like, what in the world? You know, I thought this was going to be just like a little trend and then, you know, go away in a couple of days. When I tell you, I still get on TikTok and I still see my fat butt all over. I can't run away from my own butt. But I'm like, first of all, I can't believe y'all just noticed. It's been back there my whole life. And Two, I'm like, you know what, at the end of the day, if that's what introduced me to some folks and they went and listened to the music because of that, then it is what it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, whatever it takes to get them to the party,
it's the gateway.
Yeah, it's
that's right.
It's
there just was like a few people who thought that we had started the trend ourselves, and I'm like, that was definitely not the case, but if I would have known that it was going to work like that, I'd have done something a lot sooner.
What if you did, like, new merchandise where it's like crack kills, and it's like your butt, and it's just cut? What do you
or
think?
Or instead of bobbleheads, you do bobble butts.
Yeah.
And it just, like, as
like
you put
that
it on the dash, and it just kind of shakes a little
it's
bit.
It's just butt moves.
I like that. We're doing it. We're doing it.
All right, lady.
Bobble butts.
Are you shocked at how fast everything is happening for you?
I will say it's wild. You know, what did y'all say earlier? You know, something about a 12-year overnight. I mean, that's the way it feels. I feel like I've, in a weird way, I feel like I just got to Nashville yesterday, but I also feel like I've been here my whole life working on it. You know, I mean, I wrote my first song at 9 years old, and I'm 30 years old. So I've spent a lot of my life has been dedicated to country music. And so it feels great to know that once it did start working, it really started working. And
What's your family asking for? Is anybody making requests?
Look, my little nephew, I got a video the other day that was like, "Aunt Wayne, I want a bunk bed. I want a Wobot. I want you to take me to Disney World." I'm like, "You better hold your horses now."
He calls you Aunt Wayne. I love it.
Hey, that's the best.
You're Aunt Wayne.
You're now Wayne Wilson to us. Wayne
Wilson.
Aunt Wayne Wilson.
Aunt Wayne. Aunt Wayne is the best. Is the best. I mean, people don't realize is that you. I mean, you were living in what, an RV for a while.
For 3 years, yeah, I was living in a little Flagstaff bumper pool camper trailer, and I'll tell you what, it was some weird times. The furnace wouldn't keep up with the cold weather, and even in the summertime, it was wild, you know. But I'll tell you, never in a million years did I ever think about packing it up and heading home, because this is it.
Good for
you.
And
to get from that to, I'm going to say this. You are the first woman in over a decade to have two songs in the top 10 at the same time.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
I mean, here's this. I've been researching, and I can't figure out when it happened last. So it goes back at least 10 years.
I was trying to find it, too. It's strange. I wonder who it was. We got to figure that out.
So yeah. It may go back even further than that, but we've gone back 10 years, and we can't find another time where there was a lady with two top 10 songs. Mitchell Tenpenny did it like a couple weeks ago, but
he's
not
a lady.
He's not a lady.
He ain't got no peacock feather on his head.
Well, you have no idea. Do not assume.
I'm not going to assume any of that anymore. We like our job.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, anyway.
Wayne, we love you. You're the best.
Wayne.
Oh, Wayne.
I love y'all.
Sorry, Wayne.
Wayne.
Wayne Wilson, everyone.
Yes, and also, I would like to go to Disney World. Can you hook me up?
I'll take a bunk bed if you shopping.
Hey, I want to go to Disney World too. I ain't even got time to go to Disney right now.
Well, I just want an RC waste car.
Okay.
He's
stuck in that. He's gonna talk like this all morning. Hey, how are you guys doing today? Stop it, Bubba. All right. Well, I almost said Wayne again. Laney Wilson. All right, we love you. Go enjoy your time. All right.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.